Let me say, since we've been together, loving you forever is all I need. Sorry, hey, had a moment. Beef Wine and Shenanigans, ladies and gentlemen. They didn't know I was doing it. Don't take them. Don't take Mark Abbott and Kirk Johnson responsible for this. That was me, totally me, just kind of being silly. Big shout out to Frank Smooth, who of course best karaoke dude in Brooklyn. Does the thing over at Cabinet Plaza on Fridays now. Those of you that are interested in stopping by, you might actually catch me doing that whole song for real, if you're lucky. Anyway, Mark Abbott, Kirk Johnson, Stephen Van Patten, we're all here
Hey.
doing our motherfucking thing. Fellas, how we doing?
Tired.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
I guess we're all just three sleepy black dudes. Working real fucking hard.
I got a little piece of joy
Okay.
this
Piece of
weekend.
joy. Your boss got fired? I'm
Shutter.
sorry.
Shutter. Well, I don't know if this was for Halloween or not, but gave us not one, not two, but three classic black horror films: Sugar Hill, Blackula, and Scream, Blackula, Scream.
God damn.
So we got those three, and I'm particularly happy about Sugar Hill because I wouldn't say it's the lesser known of the black horror films of the 70s, but it's definitely one that's hard to come by. And so when you do get an opportunity, if you have Shudder, anyone, please check it out. It's really a cool film. And if I am not mistaken, those of you who were fans of the Jeffersons get to see Mother Jefferson in a very different role I
in
literally
this
thought you was going
film.
to say Thelma.
Not Thelma.
Who would not like to see Thelma in a blaxploitation movie? Raise your hands. Oh, no hands are raised. Understood.
Well, wait, let's keep it 100. Thelma, legal.
Yes,
I'm all
legal
about
Thelma.
it. Legal age Thelma, I'm all about it. I'm all about it. Like first version of Angel Heart starring legal age Thelma. I'm there. I'm so there. But yeah, past that, I'm like, no. So because we because here's the thing. We're not on that R. Kelly shit.
No, that nigga in underneath the jail
And he is, oh my God.
deserves it. I'm sorry,
So,
he deserves that shit. But
and before we
you
and
know,
before we get into what we normally talk about, all right, since he has come up, so what's disturbing, what's the most disturbing part about that is here you have a grown ass man who is a musical genius and rich, big, whole, like my man, you had so much access to legally, totally legal age women. Why was this even necessary? And you and I both, the both of you know, you go in any nightclub with half, not even half. Let's just say you just got signed to a record label, half the talent that an R. Kelly has. You walk into the spot and it's like that Chris Brown video. It's wall to wall, din, 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 din. And it's like, they're just coming at you. All sorts of
Strange.
very strange, shallow. It's there. And I'm not trying to be, you know, some kind of way about it. But yes, there's all sorts of age appropriate stuff he could have got into. Easily could have got into. And whoever he finally decided to wife up or whatever, she would have been doing trapeze acts. It would have just been what it was. And you got to like imprison, and but you know it's the racketeering thing. He gonna be gone forever. Mm. He gonna be gone forever.
Mm-hmm. But that's normally what they get you on.
I believe you're going to jail. I mean, believe you're going to jail for a really long time. Yeah, crazy.
You know, the sad part is that with all of these things is the machine isn't, he's just the one wheel in the cog.
True story.
Of this whole machine, because there are so many people who, I don't want to say benefited. That's not the word I'm looking for. But they saw something for themselves.
Yes.
And used other people to get what they wanted. And these are the people that need to join him.
Yeah.
In my opinion, 100%. These people, there is no reason why half of what happened. Mm-hmm. Because you didn't step up and do something. Yes. I'm always reminded of that Boondocks episode with him in court. Mm-hmm. But it's Huey's speech when he says, you know, you want to do something for R. Kelly, you need to get him some help. You know, because I mean, you know, it was, you know, everything was like sort of in jest, but there's a lot of truth in that. Like there's something wrong.
So much truth in that episode. That, absolutely.
There's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the unfortunate part is those around him who were completely benefiting from everything that he was doing were not going to stop the train from mm-hmm. going. And they now themselves don't consider themselves complicit in anything that has happened. You know, it's sort of like, well, he got caught, you know, that's just messed up. And then we get on specials and we talk about how he manipulated and did all of this. I'm like, but
to your point, I want to say that, and I think I've said this in previous episodes, is like one of the worst things about our community is how we capitulate to one of us who ends up quote unquote making it, and you're part of the entourage. It's like, and ultimately that's what killed Michael Jackson, because nobody stopped to say horse tranquilizer. I don't know, Mike, you might not want to do that. Now, granted, Mike was on some other shit. Mm-hmm. Mike was, and I will never forget this. I'm watching MSNBC after Michael Jackson died. And correspondent is interviewing Deepak Chopra, a person who you would think most people, like, you know, that person taps you on the shoulder and says something, you know, it's a little different than Mark Kirk or Steven just tapping you on the shoulder saying it's fucking Deepak Chopra. You would think Deepak Chopra is trying to pull your coattail. You're like, maybe I should like fucking chill. Michael wasn't there. And Deepak Chopra is on MSNBC talking about if you said the wrong thing to Michael, he just like, you know, stop taking your phone calls, stop listening, stop talking to you, stop, you know. And it's like, you know, I think when you're that close to the sun, you get blinded, you know. And I think, you know, and to make it less fantastical, you know, if you're the meal ticket, then folks who've been following you around making sure you got, you know, your jacket shined, your shoes shine, your relaxer in your hair. It's like all these motherfuckers that they're following you, they're less inclined to actually say something opposing, even as you're sitting there destroying yourself. But then, you know, and just to expand on it a little bit, then you got Prince. Now, so here's, and the funny thing about that is, so when Prince died, like, I don't know about you guys, but I didn't see that shit coming. I didn't see that shit coming because Prince wasn't, to be honest, Prince wasn't as fucked up as Michael. Not publicly.
Not publicly, yeah.
No.
He was also real private. He was real private too.
He was private, but he also just kind of kept it up. Mm-hmm. And in all fairness, once he passed 50 and he's still prancing around in high heels doing splits and all this other shit, somebody should have said, you're right, because that shit looks kind of crazy for somebody your age. But because he was able to put on the facade so long, when he ends up dying because, you know, some painkiller shit, it's like
painkillers.
Yes, it's like, wait, what? And then you have to, then you backtrack and you think, and it's like, oh yeah, that he was like 55. Like, what the fuck are we? What are we sitting here thinking that he was doing all that shit without, like, your average football player retires by 40. Prince is still running around doing this wild James Brown shit that James Brown wasn't even doing after a certain age. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, it was like the whole thing just kind of took us by surprise.
Yeah.
And dude, not for nothing, when Prince died, I got so drunk. God was so upset. And full disclosure, I went from bar to bar to bar. And then finally ended up in Chinatown trying to kind of level out, and then walking across the Manhattan Bridge singing Scandalous, talking about you and me. I was so fucked up. Oh my God.
That's a soundtrack of your life, wasn't it?
But pretty much.
That dude was a sound. Yeah, he was a composer of your life.
He was.
Yeah.
He's half the reason I own a motorcycle. Come on.
And the other half that you were.
If I had to keep it 100.
And the other half.
Well, that explains perm in his head.
I know this shit. This ain't no perm. This shit is not
sexy, is, motherfucker.
This is that good hair. And it's kind of funny I gotta hear this bullshit from two milk duds.
That ain't the funny part, Maui.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway. So
there's a lot of good singers out there with the bald head.
Right. You
know. I know they are.
Isaac Hayes.
Isaac Hayes is definitely one of them.
Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson.
He wasn't. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He was a singer.
Ernie Hudson. Only thing I remember Ernie Hudson singing is, Ray, when someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
He was a pivotal part of the casting of Rudy Ray Moore's famous films. He was in one of the Dolomites.
No. He was in one of the Dolomites, and he was in Penitentiary.
Yeah.
Penitentiary movies.
And he was in Space Hunter. With Peter Strauss and Molly Ringwald.
Yes.
He was one of the first brothers in outer space.
There it is.
What a badge.
He was also, he was, he was also the mentally challenged motherfucker in Hand That Rocks the
Cradle.
Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
And not for nothing. Not for nothing. He should have got an Oscar for that shit.
You sure he didn't get an Oscar for hunting gorillas in Congo?
I'm pretty sure he didn't.
Yeah, yeah, a British accent and everything.
And that's fucked up. And that's fucked up. But
yeah.
But no, he did not. He did not. Oh my God. But yeah, shout out to Ernie Hudson. Yes. I have a picture actually with Ernie Hudson. I just remembered that.
I got one with him.
Yeah, I took a picture with Ernie Hudson.
I took a picture with him at Comic-Con a few years back. Okay. And he was funny thing is, you know, everybody did, you know, he was in the Ghostbuster outfit. So, you know, everybody was doing their Ghostbuster thing. I come up and I'm like, hey, listen, you don't have a problem taking pictures with products, do you? And he was like, no, why? So I go back and get my bag and pull out a box of Twinkies. And you see everybody on the line, like all the Ghostbuster fans, like, oh, I didn't even think about that. I'm like, yeah, I know you didn't. Let's talk about the Twinkie.
Oh my God, Mark.
Let's talk of.
Oh nice. God. Yo,
he actually started cracking up. He was like, you bought a box of Twinkies.
Don't sleep on Mark, God, man.
You got to think.
Mark is on some other shit.
You cannot sleep on Mark, man.
You got to think outside the box on that one.
One of these days, we all going to find out that Mark's a motherfucker that came up with the idea of having the two old dudes from Trading Places in the other movie talking about Mortimer, we're back.
Yeah, right.
You don't be good right about here if y'all had the two guys from...
Right. Coming to America. Actually, that was Coming to America. Mm-hmm. Mortimer, we're back. Man. But
yeah, man.
Yeah. I don't know, man. What a screwed up situation. And you know what's crazy? So I remember when Elvis died. And by no means, like, we all, look, here's the thing. We can all get a little laugh and a little joke out of Elvis, especially as three Black men, I think. And we're all very much aware of the whole of how he, you know, as a dude from, what, Tennessee or something, from, you know, born in 1935 or whatever.
Right.
How he basically just took our music and refashioned it into sexy white dude shit and became the quote unquote king of rock and roll.
Right.
That motherfucker was 42 when he died. Mm-hmm. All three of us
survived Elvis.
Survived longer than Elvis. Me, way long, and the rest of you, yeah, you're right there. And it's like, oh shit. Because as a little kid, you're like, Elvis, whatever, he's dead. Yeah. All right, fine. And now you're like, oh fuck.
Hey, wait, you want to hear trivia?
Yeah.
You want at this time, right now, you want to know who wishes that there was Elvis right about now? R. Kelly. At 11:02 p.m., R. Kelly is trying to figure out how not to service everybody on cell block 4.
But let's keep it 100. They go keep him in some solitary shit.
But you know, it's
my bigger worry, there's memes going around with like brothers, yeah, like fucking or whatever. Yeah. I would be way more worried about prison guards that happen to be white supremacists.
Exactly. And I figured
him.
Right
before brothers,
right, and I agree. Well, actually, if you give it 100, the white prison guards might not care because it's young Black women who are getting sexually abused and taken advantage of by R. Kelly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So white prison guards, they might not give a fuck. But there's more than enough brothers in jail who will.
Oh, 100%.
So if anything, 100%. If anything, them prison guards just turning their backs. It's like, that's that nigga shit. I don't care. And that's how that's going. I feel that's how that rolls out. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
We ain't going to harm you. We ain't going to protect you either.
Right.
Because we don't give a fuck.
I mean, that's all together. I don't know.
Like I said, I think I told you before, I've seen the tapes. I don't give a fuck about that dude.
Me too. I mean, shit. I was stage managing BET tonight with Ed Gordon when the tapes fucking came out. And Ed Gordon trying to get him to say something beneficial on his own behalf in the case of that. And he just did the whole. I will say it is interesting how long this took. It is interesting. It is something right in and of itself. Yeah. The whole R. Kelly situation, and not even so much because the way they're playing it on him, of course, is they're not just getting him on the sexual assault stuff and not just going to get him on kidnapping, but they've got him on racketeering.
And racketeering, that's what it is. That's probably what really put him over is the racketeering.
Oh yeah. And that's the reason why we're not going to see him anytime soon.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the whole tagging on racketeering to it, not going to see him anytime soon. Look, here's the thing though. Yes, he was wrong. Yes, he's a piece of shit. But at the same time, I need to see this same energy on Matt Gaetz. I need to see the same energy on Trump. I need to see this same energy on a whole bunch of motherfuckers. Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying. And
he flew under the radar too.
And he flew under the radar. And I say that as kind of a fan of his work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, Seven, absolutely. Usual Suspects. Mm-hmm. Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. Kevin Spacey was
wise like, guy.
Yes. Kevin Spacey ruled for a few years. And then, of course, House of Cards is dope.
Oh, yeah.
But doesn't change the fact that, yeah, you might need to go to jail, motherfucker.
Wow. Some sad shit, though.
It really is. It really is. And speaking of going to jail, this seems like a good reason to segue into the Sopranos movie that came out. The Many Saints in Newark. Quite the interesting piece of family entertainment. Normally, something like the Sopranos, not necessarily our wheelhouse, but it's definitely, I'm going to say it's worth a look. I'm going to say it's definitely worth a look. Even if you didn't watch The Sopranos, and who didn't, I don't know, because I certainly did. And it's neither, you know, it's not a horror, it's not a sci-fi thing, it's not our normal wheelhouse thing, but it's definitely, I want to say, a pop culture staple. The show certainly was. So this show, for those of you out there that watched any of it, is more or less the Tony Soprano origin story, but not really, because he doesn't even come into power within the movie. It's really about his influences. So the some standout performances for me, at least, were Ray Liotta as these two, I guess, uncles, so to speak. And not to mention the fact that the kid who plays young Tony, who is Gandolfini's child, and with the creepy 70s hair. This whole thing is very affecting. I mean, I enjoyed it. I'm actually ready to watch it again just so I can pay closer attention to the subtleties that are enacted by the younger men who are playing Big Pussy, Sal, and Paulie Walnuts, and as their younger selves. It was actually a fun thing to watch. And the best part, it satisfies Kirk's criteria of, are there any Black people in it? Because Leslie Odom plays a Black New York gangster that goes up against these cats. And that in and of itself. Especially
Leslie Odom?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Especially because he's such a solid dude.
Right.
Oh, he didn't sing or anything. he shot some motherfuckers, but he didn't sing. I had fun watching that, and it's so funny because it's like I said, just for the sake of observing nuance, because I was kind of watching it in a rush. I just wanted to just know what the fuck was happening, and I watched it real quick. But just for the sake of subtleties, I may actually look at it again, just because. And I don't do that very often. It's like once I got something under my belt, it's like, okay, done, moving on. You know. But yeah, many saints in Newark. Go figure. Mark, any thoughts?
Well, I gotta be that guy. this would have been an effective Soprano story with Tony absent. Mm. I think the problem I had with this was it was mismarketed. Mm. It was marketed supposedly as how Tony becomes who he is.
True.
When in actuality, it's not about that. It's really about this particular situation within the families that start to spiral out of control. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get the sense of, like, it took a while for me, like, particularly, I didn't realize how vicious Uncle Junior was. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. until he does what he does. Mm-hmm. But it would have been interesting to see it, because I think that's what they were trying to do. At the same time, kind of shoehorn Tony into the story, because it's like, well, you know, everybody knows the Sopranos for Tony. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, like, that they're like, because you can do that. You can, like, I always think about what made me think about, like, Spartacus, when they lost the main character, the guy who played Spartacus, when he passed away. And they had to kind of fill in the gap. So until they found somebody new, they mm-hmm. told a different story with some of the same characters. And you still had that, wow, you know, this still is effective. What bothered me the most, and I don't know whose idea this was, the narration.
By Christopher.
And what made no sense to me is, like, why is Christopher
narrating from hell?
Narrating from the grave, incidents he wasn't even old enough to even be susceptible to. I'm like, that made no sense to me, because I was like, well, normally when somebody is telling a story after they've been killed, it's something that happened to them. And he just seemed to be, he's telling this story, and he's like, you know, that's my Uncle Tony, this, that, the other thing. Oh, and that's me, the little boy in the skin. And I'm like, but I don't understand why you're telling this story, because you were not around. Like, you were barely an infant when this happened. So I was like, I didn't understand why they, I get it, because mm-hmm. Christopher, you know, he's a very
popular character. Michael Imperioli.
Imperioli, yeah. So
a popular actor.
So, I mean, I got why. I got the overall sense of why.
Okay, and I'm going to add that, and I hate to say it, some people may be insulted by what I'm about to say here, but I almost took that as, so first of all, they were all supposed to be Catholic, right?
Mm-hmm.
I took it as a play on that. Like, he is literally narrating from hell. He kind of insinuates it. And then there's the whole thing with when he's a baby and he's being held by teenage Tony and he crying his ass off. And then somebody says, and this may have been a little ham-handed, but
I think, ham-fisted. I'm sure you,
no, ham-handed. But the point is, somebody says, well, you know, when babies first come, they arrive knowing shit. Didn't say it like
on
that.
The other side.
Knowing things that we don't know. Like they, and to your point, Mark.
As an elder
it,
woman.
It is a little, that. Yes, it is a little shoehorned. It is a little shoehorned. But then the thing is, it's like, considering that Tony does kill Christopher in the course of the series, which I had actually forgotten. I was like, wait, he killed you? Wait.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a big deal.
It was a big deal, but it was so long ago. It was like, I needed the reminder. It was like, oh, that's right. Oh, shit. You know? But, you know, I took it as a play on that, on the whole, you're so entrenched in Catholicism, even though you're entrenching, let's face it, is somewhat hypocritical. You know, it's like, that's kind of how you did it. It's kind of like some Dante's Inferno type shit almost. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I dismissed that. If I had not made those mental gymnastics, I'd probably feel the same way you did.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thought on that.
I mean, all in all, it was a good piece.
Oh, it's totally entertaining.
It's a really, yeah, it is. What.
And honestly, I just want to say Ray Liotta, so much fun. As the he father and the very brother. Stoic uncle that's in jail trying to get some jazz albums. Like, that was dope. Yeah. I thought that was dope. Vera Farmiga always brings it.
Wow.
Always brings it. So she's younger Tony's mom. And I don't even know what to say. Because here's the thing. I've been impressed with her since, I want to say, The Jackal.
Okay.
And she just, everything she does, she just brings it. So that when she was Norman Bates's mom in the Psycho series, and then they were doing the fucking whole musical thing for a little bit. You remember that, Mark?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, like as goofy as it was, as left of center. No, of course he is, because, you know, and I get it. It's, look, so anything that Mark is feeling about how they fucked with Psycho mythos is where I am with how Tim Burton fucked up Dark Shadows. So it's not like it's not like I don't feel Mark's pain. Not like I can't identify with what he's going through, because for Mark, that series needed to do so many other fucking things, even though it did do some cool shit.
No, it did. It did.
It did do some cool shit. And
it didn't go the route of Gus Van Sant.
All right. So they need credit just for that. But
y'all should be happy it wasn't Lars Von Trier.
Oh, shit. I will never forget, as I'm sitting there watching, and Rihanna shows up. And I'm like, first of all, I already know Mark's not watching because I'm pretty sure I would have heard the scream from however many miles away. I would have heard the scream. But then I was like, do I call this motherfucker and tell him that Rihanna is playing,
Crane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis's mom.
Janet Leigh.
Yeah.
Janet Leigh, yeah.
Janet Leigh. Do I call Mark and let him know what's going on? And I was like, and it was one of those things where it's like, well, if I don't call him and he finds out on his own, then that's like, in all honesty, I'm like, I'm halfway expecting like 3 days later. Yo, what's up, Mark? Yo, why you punch me in the face, man? Why didn't you tell me about Rihanna, nigga? You know, like that kind of shit.
Right.
Yeah, he sent that to me in a text.
I sent the text. I was like,
and the way he did it. You watching Psycho, the series? I said, I'm behind. I said, I have to catch up. You know Rihanna's in the episode. I'm like, yeah, I heard. I just don't know who she's supposed to be playing. And then he goes, someone who stops at the motel to take a shower. That ended the text messages.
Oh,
and then woo! and then all of a sudden I just heard jun, 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 dun, 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 and me driving home like with the Hitchcock voiceover in the background.
This is much earlier in my relationship with Mark, so I don't even know if Mark likes me enough for me to fucking survive any of this. I'm like, yo, like I said, I better let him know, because ultimately it was better that it came from me.
Right. It's better that it comes from me. That's hilarious.
But to Mark's credit, he eventually took it like a champ.
Yeah, I mean, I watched him, was like, okay, because they went in a completely different direction.
And then that was the other thing. It was like
they didn't even go in the direction I thought they were going to go in, which I was like, okay.
Right, then I'm watching it, I'm throwing a shoe at the television like, the fuck is this? You know, it's like,
Umbrella, umbrella.
Exactly. Hey,
hey. Oh, John.
Shower curtain. Hey.
John Bernthal playing Tony's dad.
Hey, yeah. How about
John Bernthal again? Send me something.
The Punisher.
Oh,
and
really? Okay.
The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Our boy from Walking Dead, Shane.
Tony's dad. Holy shit.
Was Tony's dad? Okay. And I was actually expecting him to die. Like, I was like looking at my watch, like, all right, you ain't dead yet, motherfucker. But to kill the other one first.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was interesting. It's definitely. And then we get a quick shot of what's her name? Tony's wife,
Carmella.
Hanging
teenage
out with him.
Carmella.
Teenage Carmella.
Teenage Artie.
Yeah.
Teenage Artie.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They had a very funny little exchange there. It's like, yeah, my dad's talking about opening a restaurant. Yeah, my dad's talking about robbing your dad's restaurant. What the fuck?
Oh, That's sad. Like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, Tony.
You know what? Now that you mentioned that, I was trying to remember who. I was trying to remember who the well-dressed one was. I was like, wait, so I know the one that always had that look on his face that played with the E Street Band.
Oh, Steve Van Zandt.
Yeah. So I knew which character that was supposed to be the one with the cold. But I kept trying to figure out who the well-dressed one is. And as soon as you said Paulie Walnut, I'm like, that's who that was. I was trying to remember because of the nose and I was like, but yeah,
exactly. Paulie Walnuts. And I honestly, I want to watch. That's the only reason I want to watch it again, is to, now that I've got the story and whatever, so I don't have to pay attention to that. I just want to watch their performances.
Mm-hmm.
These background dudes, just to see how much they're actually mimicking those old timers.
Right.
Because hey, you gotta give them the credit that they actually found younger lookalikes, as opposed to this last fucking De Niro thing where he's literally playing himself from like 3 years
aging
old up until fucking like, you know, I was like, my man, so many struggling young actors out there. Give them the chance to play younger you. It's like, what's the problem?
That may not have been his call, though.
Well, it was Scorsese's.
Yeah. Well, you know,
older self. Yeah.
You know, Scorsese.
Well, not personally, but.
Well, no, I mean.
I get your point, but still, felt like a cop out as far as that movie went.
Yeah, funny enough, Scorsese, even back then and like now, he still looks like the kind of sleazy cat that would own like a peep show. Back then, if you look at pictures of him back then, well, with the beard and long hair,
the glasses,
he's selling guns.
The glasses that he wears sometimes too.
Yeah, no.
Borderline gazelle looking things.
Right. Like back then, he looked like he owned a peep show with them totally. Big glasses and shit. Now he looks like he owns a porn, like a porn distribution hub.
Mm-hmm.
Scorsese just looks sleazy. You know, brilliant director.
You know what, Kurt? You know what? It's just terrible because now I remember what, because that was him in the scene in Taxi Driver.
Yeah, yeah.
Who goes to peep at the woman, the woman in the window, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Kurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it was the gun runner, the gun seller.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
they all look sleazy. Shit.
If you don't mind, because I've been dying to do this because now I want to segue.
Mm-hmm.
I want to segue this piece because watching The Sopranos
mm-hmm.
makes you ponder, what if?
Oh shit.
I like that. I like that. Don't sleep on the Abbott. Don't sleep on the Abbott.
No.
What if?
If you know what I know.
Nice.
If you know what I know. All right. So the latest What If episode. Oh, shit. That. So it's been a What If in general, first of all, has been a nice mix of come on, get happy. But most of them have been like, fuck you and your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And this last one, like Ultron / Vision go on to beat the shit out of the, and I don't even, and I guess there's going to be a part two to that.
Well, I mean, thank Kirk for bringing that into existence, because he had just said the week before, he was like, I would like to see what happened with Ultron at the end of that episode in Wakanda. And you sure
it was teased already, and now you see that he went through different realities, different dimensions of different alternate realities and beat the shit out of the Watu. Beat him like he owed him money.
There are just some moments. Like, what's funny is like he's narrating and he's like, I'm trying to figure out. And then you just see him bust a hole in the thing and he's like, ah, there you are.
Right, right. No. The great was they superimposed the Watu behind him. Mm. And he's like, and he's wondering. And the guy goes, huh, who's that talking? I sense another presence. Watu's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
Yeah. Bananas. Absolutely bananas. That was awesome.
Now it's you know what? And the funny thing is, after watching the zombie episode and watching this one, mm-hmm. it reminds me of World War Doom. Mm. Came out a couple of years ago, 2016, I think, 2017.
That's funny. And I thought you were about to say World War Hulk.
World War Hulk. No. Well, this is if just so you guys, if you guys haven't read it, so Doom. So there's a thing, something happened. I can't remember what it's called, a convergence where mm-hmm. all the alternate realities are destroying themselves from beyonders. The beyonders are destroying all the alternate worlds. So they're all being destroyed and somehow Doom, I can't remember how, but Doom, I think gets one of the Infinity Gauntlets or something. And he becomes God Emperor Doom. Mm. And God Emperor Doom, still beefing with the Fantastic Four, creates a reality of with one planet with all the different factions. Mm. So you have, and this is the crazy part, so you have God Emperor Doom, huge planet, and you have a section called World Hulk, where it's a bunch of Hulks, and a maestro is in charge of that area.
Oh, Jesus.
And then you have the zombie area where it's just nothing but fucking zombies, and you have Annihilation. There's a thing called the Annihilation, which is like giant fucking insects that are taking over everything. Mm-hmm. And you have the heroes from all the different realities as well.
Right.
So you actually have this thing called the Thor Corps, and the Thor Corps is all the Thors from the different realities being used as Doom's police force. And you have the Captain Britain Corps, which is another set of soldiers that Doom uses. Has done such a thing where the Fantastic Four, Sue Richards, his wife, and taking care of the kids, and the kids don't realize that Doom is not their dad.
Wow.
And there's a wall around the Doom, the peaceful areas, for lack of a better term, to keep out the Annihilation and the Ultrons and the zombies. There's a wall around his domain, and the wall is the thing.
Oh shit.
He morphed the thing into a fucking wall. And it's crazy. It is crazy. And you know who the heroes of the story are?
Doctor Strange. Kirk and Steve? No.
Actually, you're pretty close. It's Doctor Strange, Reed Richards, and T'Challa. T'Challa gets the gauntlet because T'Challa is the king of the dead, because he has the title now as king of the dead.
Oh.
And he gets the gauntlet, and he pretty much gets all the zombies to attack the wall. And Dr. Doom is the one who actually hooks him up with the gauntlet. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember if it was Reed Richards or somebody else that convinces the thing to abandon the wall, to abandon what he does, to abandon his job. And the thing's like, yeah, I'm not going to do this no more. You see the whole fucking wall get up and walk away. And the Thor Corps like says, fuck y'all. We're not following Doom anymore. And Captain Britain Corps is mad because Doom killed the original leader, Captain Britain. And it's a whole crazy thing. But that's what this all reminds me of, is like,
oh, is that that's what they're pissed off? Not because they ran out of Guinness. No.
There's a lot. That's a lot of Guinness, bro.
I mean, I'm saying
the Captain Britain Corps was in deep. Like there was a fight between the Captain Britain Corps and the Troll Corps. That's how deep that shit was. But yeah, this the what if was him going through all the different realities and taking over.
Well, that's bananas.
And Xandar, bananas. The way he destroyed Xandar. Mm. Yeah, Captain Marvel. She ain't got. She couldn't. She couldn't hang.
No.
I'm talking about the what if. I'm talking about the what if episode. I'm sorry. No.
Yeah.
And then he's sitting there, not wanting to tell people. What are you doing? No, move up to the left. He's like, I'm like, will you just go and just pull the damn file already and stop all this crap? Like,
he's ever so close.
Yeah, right. All right, Matthew McConaughey.
Like non-committal.
Watcher. And then he has to go to Doctor Strange anyway. He has to go to Evil Strange for help anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right. That did actually look like Evil Strange. That didn't
That was Evil Strange.
Yeah.
He had to go to the what if of the second episode to get to Strange.
But you know, it's funny. Every time I watch somebody go through a file cabinet, that always brings me back to the Howling. Let's see. Marcia Quist.
Yes.
Hetty Quist. Tennessee Quist.
Yes. that's a good
one. I'm just going to take that file from you right there.
Right. That was a good one. That was.
Yo.
And making movies like that no more. They ain't making movies like The Howling no more.
But they need to. I would love to see a Howling with slightly better effects. And it wouldn't even have to be that much better because they actually did a good job.
I think they did a great job. Yeah. The practical effects. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like it more because they made the werewolves look more demonic than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the werewolves never looked as demonic with the practical effects as they did. Like them niggas needed a perm. That's how bad that fucking fur was.
The fur
was crazy. I was like, wow, y'all look mad. You look like mad dogs. Y'all do not look like werewolves. Y'all look like mad, pissed off, like
with the ears all like this.
Yes, yeah. If they put that shit in like Lord of the Rings, I guarantee you, motherfuckers will be like this. All right, man, y'all do that ring shit by yourself. Give me like this. Them ears is too big for me to even want to deal with. Look, there's a cave.
I'll be honest with you. I remember not trying. I've been trying to figure out which one was worse, them or your boy from American Werewolf, because that thing looked like his transformation looked painful.
That's the worst part of that movie.
That is the worst part.
I mean, my man getting fucked up. My man getting fucked up after he trips in the escalator. And you're all like, are you fucking serious? You got away, but you tripped in the escalator?
Yes.
Meanwhile, either one of the three of us would have OJ'd our asses all the way home and been like, yo, honey, check this out. You know what the fuck I just saw?
Right.
And your old lady's like, shut the fuck up and go to sleep. Yo.
I ain't sleeping for a while. Yeah.
My man tripped up in the escalator. And let it bring him back down.
Right. Oh my God. Had the audacity, the scandalousness of it all. His papers and briefcase flew up in the air.
The caucasity.
But you have to give him credit, though. He ran. He ran that entire length with a briefcase and an umbrella in his hand.
Mark, the only reason he didn't get taken down at the platform was because the werewolf was full.
Mm-hmm.
He'd already eaten like eight motherfuckers.
Yes, you're right. He did.
So that's why he was like, should I fuck this motherfucker up? Oh, he's running. Well, you know what? Let's see how this goes. and just kind of trailed behind him. He doesn't trip. He goes the fuck home.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
He would have made it to the surface.
Right.
He would have totally made it. He'd have been out. Right. He'd have been done.
Although, I have to admit, when that's probably the most shocking scene in the movie, because when that's when you get a glimpse of how big he is. Because up until that point, you don't really get, like, you see his face. Right. But when you see him come out from underneath, I was like, Jesus Christ. No
way. Oh, yeah, no. Dude. I mean, I give him credit from a suspense standpoint. American Werewolf in London. The build.
Hands down.
And just the pacing. I mean, fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Just fucking brilliant all the way around. Probably, probably number one werewolf movie of all time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd buy that. Yeah.
You know, not to take anything away from The Howling, not take any away from Lon Chaney.
No.
Any of that shit. Yeah. But the way American Werewolf in London is set up, like, mm-hmm. Oh my God. So
yeah.
So what y'all think of this new episode of What If? How you think it stacks up to the other episodes?
It's on par. It's definitely on par.
Yeah. I agree.
You know what? As far as calling out a favorite, I cannot help as far as a favorite goes, my needle is stuck on T'Challa as Star-Lord. Because not just because I'm looking for something happy per se, but just, you know, and it was somebody else that put it in an article. It was just straight up black boy magic.
Yeah. Mm.
And the fact that it was Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
And you know, just from listening and watching and the whole thing, you know he had fun with that shit.
Oh, yeah.
He had so much fun. Once they sat down and explained it to him and he read it, I can't even imagine. Like, oh, yeah, this is fantastic. And he had to be, he probably knew he was dying at that point.
Mm.
So to him, it was like my legacy.
Right.
So to me, that episode just like it just gets all in here, you know. And then everything else, I mean, including the darker stuff like the Stephen Strange episode.
Yeah.
Where he's trying to like pull the Superman and, you know, if I could turn back time, as Cher would say, you know. You
sound a little more like Bear.
Like, yeah, that's fine.
If I can turn, yeah.
It's the Bear cover. But yeah, you know, I think that was certainly a great one.
Yeah.
And that's the crazy thing right now. It's like, you know, I was talking to somebody not too long ago about how they're going to sit down with their kid and they're going to watch all this Marvel shit. And I was just like, yo, y'all are going to be in the house for like a week. Because it's, y'all going to, like, if you really try to do this, yo, because it's not just the movies anymore. It's fucking WandaVision.
Yep.
You know. Falcon, Winter Soldier, like all of this shit is relevant.
Mm-hmm. Shit, Agent Carter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, my
Daredevil
God.
And Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and the Netflix shit.
And exactly. The Netflix shit.
It's like, and so what's getting ready to happen? They're getting ready to drop Moon Knight and Morbius on us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stop fucking playing.
Damn.
Yeah.
And did you see the trailer for Morbius? That shit looks dope.
Mm-hmm. Dude. So Disney right there, Marvel is like, damn, man. That shit is like Ultron right there. Just taking shit over.
It's just,
you know what the world needs? You know what the world needs? Another Marvel hero show.
You know what? But to their credit.
Yeah.
I mean, I give them credit because they take stuff and they do something with it. It's literally, and I mean, even when you go back to looking at Star Wars, they're like, you know, we're gonna give y'all three more films just to shut the Skywalker saga off, but we got a whole batch of stuff over here in the crate that we're about to just drop on you like a ton of bricks.
Yeah,
and even if even as some of it weaves itself in and out of the canon stuff or whatever is left. It's, I mean, the Book of Fett is about to come out at what, after Christmas, I think.
Yeah.
So we're getting that. We're getting another season of Mandalorian. You know, we got Kenobi is coming. We've got the Ahsoka's getting her own series.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yep.
That was the running joke with one of my buddies, because he said that the thing that he couldn't understand with the Mandalorian, he's like, they keep introducing all these people. He says, but it's not advancing the story anymore. I don't understand what the point of this is. And I said, you're missing the bigger picture. They're introducing all these people so that you can go watch their shows when they come out. And he was like, wow, you know what? You're right. I was like, that they're not part of his universe. They're just there so that, you know, I'm here and, you know,
ka-ching, we're going to do ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. That's all they're doing over there right now. That's all.
And if they listen to the fanboys, which they seem to tend to do, Sebastian Shaw might end up being Luke Skywalker, because everybody wants him to play. That's like a big thing now. They want him to play Luke Skywalker before he, you know, he became Grandpa Skywalker. And who knows, you know?
Who knows? Well, gentlemen, the time is near. We are out of time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It went into this episode of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, guys. So as always, thank you, fellas. Mark Abbott, Kirk Johnson.
Hey.
Go out and buy our stuff. Just saying. exactly. Hell at Brooklyn Tea.
Yeah.
Mark's written a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Go, we ain't putting shit up here because, you know, it looks good. Just buy our...
Go read. Buy our stuff. Buy our stuff. All right. Who is MarkLAbbott.com?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, www.laughingblackvampire.com. Exactly. Fellas, thanks as always. Great conversation.
Wonderful.
We'll do it again next week.
Yes.
You suckers. Peace.